The ghost did it.
The ghost knocked your mic over.
Are you getting the squeak yet?
No, but you just knocked the mic over with a bag of cheese curds. Let's be real. It is Fright Day. This is episode 43. I'm your host. Well, I'm actually not your host tonight. Let's do something a little bit different. It's time for an event.
Captain Kelly's True Tales of Terror.
Can you cut that out?
No, it's in for sure. So, Kelly, that's enough. You're not Elvira. And you're screaming right into the microphone.
Jesus.
It was a maniacal laugh.
At least it's the
laugh.
Wrong side of the microphone.
So it's been a long time in the making, but hopefully this will become more of a regular thing.
Yeah.
What are we doing tonight?
We are going to tell some incredible listener-submitted true scary stories.
Stop it.
Okay. And at the end, I'm going to relay a true, honest-to-gosh ghost experience that I had.
Honest to golly. Sure.
She's been watching Fargo.
All right.
I actually do like Fargo. We got some great stories from listeners. We have enough that we will probably keep picking from them. The two best ones I'm going to read
ghoul
tonight.
Ghoul pool.
If anybody has others, because we do have a couple listeners who have said that they've got great stories and they're going to type them out and send them to me, but I haven't gotten them yet. So I'd like to keep building this pool so we can keep selecting excellent things.
But tonight.
Yeah.
Three tales.
So just a little bit of background. I have loved ghosts since I was a wee little bit of a thing. Wasn't really religious growing up. My religion was more ghosts and aliens and monsters.
Sure.
That was kind of what I did.
Aren't all religions a little bit of
a... Well, I guess, but mine's like not attached to a doctrine.
Sure.
So much as it is just freeform. My father used to tell the scariest ghost stories when my friends would come over and spend the night. We'd pop a tent up in the backyard and spend the night out there, and Dad would tell us ghost stories and then scare the shit out of us in the middle of the night. I also was convinced that there was a Sasquatch that lived between two tall pine trees in my backyard.
Between two trees?
Well, yeah, there was this little cove between the two trees that was actually kind of like a fort that you could crawl into.
Not and a bramble, though.
No, it wasn't, because it wasn't blackberry bushes. It wasn't any thorny bushes. It was just two trees.
That's a tease for the next episode.
Oh, God, wait till you hear about the bramble monster. Legit experience
that's
with
enough.
Bramble monster.
That's enough.
So listen to ghost stories all the time, loved them. And then when I got a little bit older and would listen to Coast to Coast, they would have Ghost to Ghost every Halloween.
Ooh.
Which was fantastic. And though Sam isn't a fan of listener call-ins, I loved it because listeners would call in with some of the scariest damn stories, things that still terrify me to this day.
So Sam,
yeah,
you believe in ghosts. You're a big fan of ghosts.
I dedicate my existence to finding and proving ghosts exist.
Mm-hmm. I wish you did.
You wish you were married to Zachary Baggins?
No, I just wish Sam believed in ghosts like Baggins.
You just wish I had pants like Baggins.
Ooh, well, that's complicated pants he has.
So many buckles.
Lots of buckles. Yeah.
I would define myself as an unyielding skeptic.
Sure. I racked my brain my whole drive out here to Oregon, where we currently are. And I couldn't think of any time that I saw a ghost. I have experienced the shadow people, but that's just part of sleep paralysis.
Not necessarily.
I'm pretty sure.
You've experienced the shadow people?
Yeah, remember the man in the doorway? I'm sure I told this story on the show.
I don't know. I don't listen to our show.
I was maybe 5 or 6 years old, and I fell asleep in a bed next to my mother because we were watching TV late one night. And all of a sudden, behind the light of the TV, I see a man standing in the doorway. And he stood there for a very, very, very long time. And I didn't move. I remember just watching him. And then I watched that movie, The Nightmare, and I realized, hey,
okay,
that's probably not what that is.
Here's the thing about The Nightmare. It was a bad movie, first. Uh-huh. Second of all, there's nothing proven that shadow people are a manifestation of sleep paralysis. And also, typically, if people are manifesting those things, they happen a ton. The fact that you still remember this from when you were five means there was probably something pretty significant about it.
It's probably Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, was my mom's boyfriend for a while.
Oh, was he?
You can sign to that.
Maybe. How happy would you be if you found out that was actually the case?
You act like I'd be happy that I'm related to a serial killer?
I do act like you'd be happy.
No, absolutely not. As much as I talk about serial killers, I definitely don't support what they do. I just find it intriguing.
Yeah, and you would find it intriguing if you were related to one.
I don't know. I was listening to a podcast with one of the relatives. So H.H. Holmes was his great-great-grandfather. And it kind of destroyed his life because he... I'm eating cheese curds during a podcast?
I know, it's addictive.
That's really more of a Captain Kelly move.
You can't stop. Yeah, you can't stop. It's a cheese curd.
We're here a couple miles away from the Tillamook plant. I apologize. But yeah, it really did a number on him. I don't think it would do that to me, but I definitely wouldn't be super proud of it.
I'm not saying proud of it. I'm saying intrigued by it. You would be excited.
I don't know. That stuff's not genetic. I mean, there's definitely mental illnesses that can be passed down, but it doesn't mean you're going to be a serial killer or a psychopath. It's nature versus nurture, okay? And nurture comes into play.
Yeah, well,
sure, but that has nothing to do with Kelly's True Tales of Terror.
Kelly's True Tales of Terror. Okay, so the first story that I'm going to tell is a story from a great listener of ours, Cody.
I'm going to play some spooky music.
Go ahead. Spook me out.
I don't need... What? All right. It'll do it on its own. That's enough. It's playing right now. Kelly, you can say this stuff now.
So I'm going to read this in Cody's words.
What?
Rather than translating it to like a third person thing. So this is going to be read in first person.
First person, okay.
Yeah. First person account from the voice of Cody. I've been debating whether or not to send in my ghost stories. And if so, what ghost story to tell? On the last podcast, you sounded pretty desperate. So I decided to tell it all.
Oh, no.
Thanks, Cody.
No, we just want to get really good ones, man.
Thanks, Cody. Feel free to cherry pick the ones you like, use them all, or don't use any. Promise it won't hurt my feelings, so let's start from the beginning. I spent the first 8 years of my life living with my grandma before moving in with my mom. After moving, I would spend every other weekend at my grandma's house, helping her get groceries, mow the yard, and other things she had a hard time doing in her old age. Several years later, I was around 13 or 14, and I would start experiencing strange things. I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure most, if not all, of my strange experiences happened immediately after my stepdad's sister and her kids came to visit. She and my mom had gotten on the topic of Wicca and magic.
Yeah.
Outside of Harry Potter, I'd never heard two grown adults sit and have a serious discussion about something like that. Turns out my mom was also into that kind of stuff. She wasn't all Earth Mother's silk robes and dancing at the Sabbath, but it was more of a hobby. She dabbled in it. Had a drawer with four or five spell books. Don't know what she did with them.
That doesn't seem like dabbling.
Yeah.
Hold tight, four spell books?
I don't know.
That's a significant amount of books of spells.
I have commitment. No experience with those.
I mean, I have a couple.
I don't have any. Okay. Don't know what she did with them. She sure as hell wasn't casting money spells and various other things.
That was dark.
Sage mixing bowl, some glass container with brown stuff in it. One thing led to another, and my mom busted out her Ouija board.
Ooh,
here you go, guys. Here's
stuff.
A Ouija.
The witch board.
And for two nights, all eight people in the room would play with it. One of the spirits that was contacted appeared both nights and somehow convinced my mom beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was my great aunt Ollie. Aside from those two nights, I've never and will never touch a Ouija board. My little sister, however, loved it as much as my mom did, and they would sit and play for hours. My mom was completely convinced that she was talking to various family members from beyond the grave. I've tried telling her she had no idea whether or not that's who she was talking to. And if it was an evil entity, I would say the same things to trick her. But she wasn't hearing it. Anyway, let's get to the spooky stuff.
What?
Around the same age, 13 or 14, I began hearing things in my bedroom as I was trying to fall asleep. It started as breathing. I would be laying in bed and hear an extra set of breath. I would hold my breath for a few seconds to make sure it wasn't me. Then I would turn the light on and make sure my sister wasn't hiding under the bed or in the closet or something.
It's not me.
She wasn't. The breathing would later evolve into whispers, and when I was about 16 or 17, same story. Lying in bed, trying to fall asleep, and I would hear someone whispering. I could never make out the words, but it was definitely someone whispering. I began sleeping with headphones on. At one point, my closet light would begin turning itself on and off. I would fall asleep with it off and wake up with the light shining from beneath the door. Or the light would be off, but the door would be cracked open. These were things that would make me pause and think for a second, but ultimately I would just shrug it off, even if I was 100% positive I hadn't left it that way. In that house, a lot of strange things would happen. Lights would begin to flicker for no reason, things would begin to fall. Once, no shit, I was talking to my neighbor about how I thought the house was haunted. Basically, he told me I was crazy. He began to walk from the kitchen to the living room, and a light fixture in the kitchen fell right where he was standing. Not a big fixture, probably wouldn't have even hurt him if it had hit him, but it was one hell of a coincidence. Another time I was sitting at the computer. That was back in the days of MySpace. Oh, I remember those days, Cody. It was summer vacation.
I think Cody's mom is in my top eight.
Well, that's good. Maybe don't say that to Cody.
Sorry, Cody.
It was summer vacation.
I want to be your dad.
My mom and stepdad were at work, and my sister was spending the summer with her dad. I was the only one in the house. I clearly heard someone call my name. I got out of the chair, checked the whole house, and couldn't find anyone. I even went out to the driveway to look for cars. Another time, at the same computer, also during MySpace days, I felt someone touch my right arm a few inches below the elbow. Also completely alone in the house. Every time me or my sister would bring this up to my mother, she would always say the same thing. That's Aunt Ollie messing with you because she knows you're being a little shit.
That's so good. Mom!
Come on. Yeah. So at 18, I dropped high school, moved into my own apartment, ghost-free, by the way.
Ooh.
I wasn't going to graduate anyway, and I did not get along with my parents, like, at all. So after
I don't have a dad like me.
I guess that's true. So after I left, my sister got my old room. She also mentioned experiencing whispers, strange happenings with the closet, and a rocking that would bump her bed in the middle of the night. And a rocking chair that would bump her bed in the middle of the night as it rocked by itself. The only thing I had ever mentioned to her were the whispers. So for her to have the other similar problems reaffirmed what I had been thinking all along. When I was 19, I moved my apartment in with my grandma to help her out. She wasn't doing so well. To be quite honest, a person of her age had absolutely no business living in this part of town anyway. I would go get her groceries, fill her prescriptions, take care of the house and the yard, take her to and from doctor's appointments. 4 months later, she got sick, and after spending way too much time in the hospital, she requested to go home and be made comfortable while she passed. 3 days later, she had passed. In her bed with my Uncle Jim by her side, that room is currently my bedroom. The only person to spend more time with her than me was my mom, who naturally turned to the Ouija board to make contact. I inherited the house, so I continued to stay and began making it my own. After 4 or 5 children picked through all of her belongings like vultures, and the first 6 months of her passing were heavy with strange occurrences. I had lived in this house for the majority of my life and never experienced anything until now. The door to the back bedroom would open all by itself. I would always keep it closed because, I don't know, I'm weird and like to keep doors closed.
I mean, let's keep them closed.
I agree. It's just safer. I agree. That
way. No reason not to.
And every night when I would return from work, there would be the door wide open. And every time I would think someone had broken into the house, I would grab my gun, check every room for an intruder. I actually ended up tying the door shut for a while. The lights in the dining room began to flicker heavily. Once again, never any previous issues. And they don't flicker now either.
Sounds like he's been spending too much time in the Bramble.
Well, but no. That's no. Bramble's monsters, not ghosts.
That's another tease.
I would have things go missing and I would find them in an area that I had already searched 3 or 4 times. Okay, Cody, that totally happens to me. I'm with you. Right there on top, couldn't miss it if you tried. It didn't just happen to me. When my girlfriend would come visit, it would happen to her. She didn't believe in ghosts until she met me and my family. You could hear a noise, walk down the hallway to find what it was, and see that it was a doorknob jiggling. You could watch it jiggle for as long as you want, then grab it and make it stop. There was a scratching noise in the walls and the ceiling. The thing that bothered me the most was that I never, ever felt alone. It always felt like someone was there watching me or in the room with me. The whole house had this real uneasy vibe. I'm getting chills just typing this. At this point, I was sleeping on the couch because my room had become storage and I hadn't gotten around to cleaning out the main bedroom yet. The closer it got to Halloween, the worse the energy felt. So it's this time of year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember one of the Friday the 13th movies was playing on AMC's Fear Fest. The one where he's on a boat. Do you guys know which one that is? I don't know that one.
Wait, Friday the 13th?
Yeah, Jason Takes Manhattan. Yeah. Okay. I was doing dishes in the kitchen and I was so convinced that someone was watching me, I checked inside and outside the house 3 times. Around that time is when me, my girlfriend, and anyone else who visited the house would see shadows out of the corner of their eye.
Shadow folk.
I guess so. There were several times when I was talking to my girlfriend and her eyes would dart from side to side and she would say, "Sorry, I thought I saw something." Same with my family and my friends and my mom. She was still heavy into her Ouija board and thus my most knowledgeable connection with all things paranormal. I told her what was going on. She threw me a stick of white sage and told me how to burn it and what to say on Halloween night in 2010.
Is it just fire?
But my girlfriend came over and we did just that. It sounds stupid, believe me, I know. But just like almost everyone else from Oklahoma, I'm part native. This is something the natives have been doing for years and I was desperate. And you know what? It fucking worked. Albeit temporarily. But Captain Kelly, I swear to God, stupid fucking ritual worked. Immediately, my house had never been so quiet. No weird creaks, bumps, squeaks, scratches, weasels, woozles, nothing. And the atmosphere of the house instantly lightened. And it stayed that way for a while. Then things started up again. They always do. It starts slow and builds. When it gets real bad, I break out the sage again. I don't say the chant anymore. I just play some Christian music in the background. And every time, with the exception of one, the house always calms down. I usually do it 2 or 3 times a year. Believe it or not, fall is when things are strangest. It escalates through September and October and peaks sometime close to Halloween. When I moved into the main bedroom, the one my grandma passed on in, I noticed that I could hear noises through the rest of the house, like someone is walking around, but the floor doesn't squeak like it does when a real person is walking. If you get up and stand in the hallway, it's silent. Also, both me and my girlfriend have experienced what we call phantom TV when trying to sleep. We will be lying in bed and it'll sound like someone is watching an old TV Land sitcom in the other room. You can't make out any of what's being said, but you can tell the people are talking. And then you hear the laugh track play and you know someone has just said a joke. If you get up and walk around, inside or outside, you can't hear it. But as soon as you lay back in bed, there it is again. We used to blame it on the neighbor, but it continued after he moved out.
What was that?
Oh my God, don't. Stop it!
So you guys, Kelly, no, hold tight. Do you believe in those phantom audio?
Yeah, it's actually, I think that it's something that comes through probably more frequently than phantom visual stuff. So I think it is really interesting. I've heard a lot of stories about that. And actually, that is kind of what my story centers around, my own personal ghost story I'm going to get to.
It's going
to
be at the end of the show, closing it out?
It is, yep.
Could that have anything to do with multiple timelines overlapping? Is that what
I mean, it could. It could be a parallel universe thing. It could be, you know, the theory that all time exists at once and then there are just blips that come through.
Sure.
I don't know. It's very interesting. My experiences with ghosts have been primarily auditory.
Sure.
And my scariest one, which, like I said, I'm going to talk about.
Let's keep reading about Cody's mom.
Okay. 2012, one of the guys I worked with was down on his luck in between homes, so I let him stay on my couch until he could get on his feet. He was not the type to believe in ghosts, but he only spent 3 nights in the house before leaving because it was too creepy, his words. He mentioned how one night he thought he heard me get out of bed to go into the bathroom, heard me walk all the way down the hall, then stop. He called my name, but after no response, he got up to look. He walked all the way back to the bedroom to open the door and found me fast asleep. On top of the random weird noises and the dryer,
so
that
your
was
door
enough
wasn't tied shut?
No, he only tied some doors shut. The dryer kept turning off and on. So on top of the weird noises, the story with him getting up, the dryer turning off and on, that was enough. He called one of our mutual friends and moved in with him for a while. My house had literally scared off a homeless man.
Wow.
Yeah. For the most part, my house has calmed down. There's still weird noises. We hear the phantom TV when we're trying to sleep. We still see shadows out of the corner of our eyes only while at home. Sometimes we feel like we're not alone. The lights don't flicker anymore. The dryer doesn't beep anymore. Things quit disappearing for the most part. Doors don't open, and I'm pretty sure, but not positive, my mom doesn't mess with the Ouija board anymore. Whether the board and my weird situations are connected is just a guess of mine. Although paranormal type occurrences have been on the decline for the most part, the most terrifying one yet happened just a few months ago. Ooh. I woke up in the middle of the night because I felt movement on the bed. Doesn't happen. I sleep like a rock. this is actually really scary. Sure, okay. This is super scary. Okay. I looked to see my girlfriend get up and start walking towards the door to the bathroom. Thinking that this would be the perfect time to scare her and grab some water at the same time, I moved to get out of bed. When I put my hand down to help myself up, I felt my girlfriend laying in bed right next to me. I felt my heart stop. Like I said before, I don't live in the best part of town, so my first thought was the person I was staring at next to the bathroom door had broken in. I grabbed my gun from the nightstand, dropped the safety, and with the other hand turned on my lamp. There was no one there. I felt this thing move off the bed, watched it walk across the room and stand next to the door, and now there was nothing. I got out of bed with my gun and made sure the rest of the house was clear before returning to bed. There it is, my almost complete list of paranormal events. Like I said at the start, use some, don't use some. They were great, Cody.
Use them all.
They were fantastic. He's a big fan of the show.
Thanks, Cody.
First thing he looks for Monday mornings. Thanks so much, Cody.
Oh, he looks on Mondays.
Yeah, he does.
Which is just so happens to be the day that the show comes out every week.
Yeah.
From here on out.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, Cody, honestly, great stories. Keep me posted if anything else happens. That is terrifying. And I agree with you. That one at the end, I can't even imagine what I would do.
Oh, my God.
If I woke up and saw Sam get out of bed in the middle of the night and then got up to get out and realized that he was still in bed, oh, my God, I'd lose my shit.
Yeah, Sam, what would you do if you woke up? I mean, I know, I don't know if you have a gun next to your...
He does.
Where's Sam? Oh, my God, Sam disappeared.
Sam? Oh. Sam?
That's so spooky. I hope I don't disappear by the end.
I hope you don't disappear, too. Things happen.
It's a murder mystery.
Our next story is from a very loyal listener, Hugster.
Hugster.
Woo! So here again in Hugster's first person voice.
Ooh, let's get prepared.
Yeah.
Woo! Are you guys ready?
I think I was around 12 years old. I was going to bed in my bunk bed. I slept in the top bunk. Very brave, Hugster. Sore. I could never do that.
Wait, what do you mean? Why not?
I'd roll out. I'd kill myself every time.
But there's an edging.
I also fell off a top bunk bed when I was in college. It's a whole other story.
Sure.
Yeah. So I was close to the ceiling.
Is it Wine Kelly?
On the floor above me. No, it was not. On the floor above me, it's just Clumsy Kelly.
Sure.
On the floor above me in the attic, my older brother slept, but he had been away the previous night and was going to be away this night as well. So there was no one in the attic. I had been in my bed for a while, unable to sleep, when I heard footsteps in the staircase going up to the attic. The steps continued, and I could hear the floor above me making noise as the person walked across. It's an old house, so it's very easy to hear when people are walking around. Suddenly it became quiet before the person had walked all the way across the attic where my brother's room and bed were. There was a 10 to 15 second beat of silence when I suddenly heard and felt something banging down on the floor above. Being so close to the ceiling, there was no doubt about what I had heard or felt. There was no more noise of the person continuing to walk. The next day, I asked for my brother because I had heard him come home the night before, but my parents told me he still wasn't home. I proceeded to ask everyone if anyone was in the attic during the night. No one was. My brother had come home the following evening, and there was nothing strange in his room, and he confirmed it wasn't him who had been home the night previous. A long time passed, and I wondered if this might have been a ghost, but I decided it was sort of ridiculous, until I heard a story about our house. It turns out that a previous owner of the house was a couple in the 1960s, and the husband was beating his wife regularly until one day she had gone up to the attic and hung herself there. That's what I figured the banging noise must have been coming from her chair, tipped over, which would explain why there was no further walking noise after the bang happened.
Oh my God.
That's a freaking scary story, Hugster. Ugh. That's scary. You know what's really interesting, Hugster?
What?
An old couple died in my childhood home as well.
Really?
Actually, in the room that was my bedroom, and I refused to sleep in that room.
Come on.
Seriously, I slept on the floor in the living room as soon as I heard about that. That's where I slept all the way through high school.
It's ridiculous.
It's a true story.
Someone's died everywhere. You realize that, right?
I guess, but I don't like knowing about it.
Doesn't matter. Just know that wherever you are, you're someone's probably died. Breathing in dead body air.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Something to think about. Something I think about all day.
That's gross and horrible. Sorry. And terrifying, and I don't like it at all.
Ooh.
Stop it.
Oh, it's a spook. It's a special day.
Spooky for sure. So do you guys want to hear my story?
Let's take a quick break and hear an interview from Alistair Legrand about his movie The Diabolical.
Monsters do have their place. In the zoo, in your nightmares, in the deep, in your favorite horror movies.
So I'm talking to director Alistair LeGrand. How are you doing, Alistair?
I'm great.
I had the chance to watch your film, The Diabolical, last night, and I loved it.
Oh, good. Well, that's important.
For those who haven't, could you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, The Diabolical is a supernatural thriller. I give it a little bit more sci-fi than people are expecting. About a multi-spiritual spent out a horrible force. I can't really give away what it is.
Yeah, I wouldn't want you to do that either.
No.
So this is your first feature, am I right?
This is my first movie, yeah.
But before that, you had a lot of experience in music video and commercial work.
Yeah, mostly music videos, a few commercials here and there. But I learned all that I know now through music videos, mostly.
What did you bring to the table from those experiences?
Well, I think the most important thing that I brought was an ability to tell a story and make it look a lot bigger than it actually is. Because these days in music videos, you don't have a lot of money to work with. So the budgets are small, so you have like $1,000 to do a really visually exciting and interesting piece that lasts 4 minutes long, and you have a half a day to shoot it, and you have to come up with a lot of creative ways to kind of get the story across and make it really, really cool and fun. So I think I convinced these producers to let me at the helm because I could do a lot for very little and really think on my toes and get it done. Because, I mean, it's a really nice film school to have as music videos because you really have to think on your toes.
Yeah, I mean, I was familiar with your work before I even formally knew that. I saw the video you did for Bring Me the Horizon.
Yeah.
It looked massive, and it definitely had elements of horror.
Yeah. It was always my goal to sort of bring horror to whatever music video I wrote, and sometimes that worked, and sometimes it didn't work so well for the artist, because they'd be like, why is there so much blood and change? Why does this look like Hellraiser? And I would... You know, but that's just because that's the stuff I love, and that's what I know, and I can't sit there and write, like, something that I don't actually... It's more exciting for me to add horror to everything I do, so that's why I also knew at the same time that I really wanted to direct horror movies, so I thought I should probably use these visuals to be able to tell myself in the future that I could actually, you know, make something spooky and unsettling.
Was it at all intimidating to go from a four-minute video to a full-length feature?
Yeah, I vomited every day.
Oh, really?
No, I mean, not. I'm exaggerating, but I mean, I was pretty terrified. I mean, you know, it's the first movie, and it's there was a lot riding on it, convincing Allie to do it, and just getting it done. We had like a 20-day shoot and a very short window for pre-production, and we had a lot of special effects and children and. Yeah, there was a lot going on. I still can't believe that we pulled this off. But I was definitely, I had the training to sort of to pick up a camera and shoot something every day. But I would say music videos are a sprint, and there's movie making is definitely a marathon. You're not really aware of the kind of like, you can never be prepared enough for how tired you're actually going to be. But it's so fun. And I mean, luckily the producers let me bring my crews from music videos, so that really helped, because I've always worked with the same cinematographer, and he and I just are one brain, and we don't even talk much, we just sort of kind of light the room and get the scene going, and that really helped, because, it was just nice to have people that I'm used to working with.
For sure. So did you know that you wanted to work with Ali Lauder the whole time? She had such a strong mama bear vibe from Heroes. Was that something you were looking for?
I mean, just as a genre fan, I knew Ali Lauder, and when we were writing the script, I was definitely thinking of her for the role, just because I saw in Heroes, she had a really good, like you said, mama bear vibe, and my favorite part of Ali Lauder is that she's like action hero, and she's beautiful, but you can see the gears turning behind her eyes, like she has an intelligence with her, and she's just a great screen presence, and I think, you know, she should be in more movies. So it was really nice, and I agreed with the investors and the producers who to send the script to. It was just a really big breath of fresh air, and took a lot of the weight off my shoulders to have a complete professional as our lead. And she was just so kind and really nice to work with, and totally agreeable to kind of adjustments and working with her. And I needed to have a really strong Allie questions every single thing in the script, which is fantastic. And you really need to have a good background for it.
And you co-wrote this with Luke Harviss.
Yeah.
What's it like writing with a partner, and what's your process?
I think it's amazing. I mean, I try to recommend it to as many people as I can, but at the same time, it's really hard to find someone that you don't want to rip their head off. Like, when you need to find someone that you can have arguments with, but at the same time, always sort of have the same mindset for what the script's going to be. And luckily, I've been friends with Luke since we were little skate rats. I mean, we met when we were 12, and we've always sort of written things together and wanted to work on projects and shot skateboard videos. But it wasn't until 5 years ago that we really started to become serious about screenwriting, and we both have very similar tastes in film. So it's really nice to collaborate and work with someone. Plus, I am a horrible procrastinator, so it's nice to have someone in the room forcing you to finish a page, and that's why I mostly recommend it to people. I'm like, you get instant notes, which is wonderful. And I'll write 5 pages, and then he'll read them over and tell me if they're bad, and I'll do the same to him, and we'll constantly discuss the story as it evolves. And it's great. I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, it seems like when you find the right partner, really good things come out of it. Earlier this year, we talked to Aaron Moorhead and Justin Benson, who wrote and directed Spring.
Oh, yeah.
And they said a lot of those same things.
Yeah, I mean, it's also great for your story. There's so much in the diabolical that's me. But the story of a mom raising two kids, it totally comes from my background. And then there's stuff that's definitely from Luke's walk of life and that he put into the film, like the discussion in the basement and about like volcano and all that stuff. So it's really interesting to sort of combine, to take two different wells and combine them into one.
So you said earlier you always wanted to bring horror to the music videos you worked on, and then your first feature film was a horror movie. What interested you about horror?
It's so hard to explain. It's just, since I was a kid, I've always been sort of more drawn to the spookier, more macabre side of things, and I've always loved ghosts and haunted houses and games rattling on the floor, and I don't know why. And it's really hard. I talked to other horror fans about it, and it's just sort of, you're just drawn to it. I love kind of the darker stories in life, and horror movies have always been the most exciting and fun for me to watch, because they're the most like theme park kind of roller coaster feel of a film, and you tell so many different stories inside the horror realm. You can combine drama, comedy, science fiction, and action, but it's still having people run from a monster. I think there's a really cool aspect of horror that's not, I think lately people are getting more attached to it, but horror can be really beautiful and resonate strongly and have huge ideas inside one movie, and that's why I love horror.
Are you working on anything else at the moment that you can talk about?
Yeah, we're working on a movie about face transplants that we're really excited about. It's more of a horror thriller.
Did you say face transplants?
Face transplants, yeah.
So it's not the sequel to Face Off, though.
It's not. It's the most straightforward, scary take on Face Off ever. It's very unsettling, and it's more of like a Cronenberg film, so I'm really excited.
Well, I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Is there a place on social media that our listeners could reach out to you?
Yes, I'm on Twitter. I'm Alistair LeGrand, at Alistair LeGrand. That's just my name, which is, if you Google it, you'll figure out how to spell it. And my website is alegrand.com.
Perfect. And you can find The Diabolical on VOD and in theaters October 16th. Is that right?
That's right. October 16th, third day.
Great. Thank you so much, Alistair.
Thank you, Byron.
How about that?
How about it? Alistair's great. I'm kind of sad I missed that interview. That would have been really cool. He seems wonderful.
Well, you should check out the movie.
Well, obviously. I know. I'm sorry that I didn't get to watch that either. I had to drive to a funeral. Kind of grim.
Ugh.
Yeah.
True Tales of Terror.
True Tales of Terror. Last tale of terror. Kelly's personal tale of terror.
Let's hear it.
Okay. So my mother's an English teacher, and she does some really cool place-based learning, which means she takes kids on like overnight field trips and does a lot of instruction tied to the location. And I tagged along on one of her field trips a few years back. Sam actually was with me. We went to this ghost town in Montana called Virginia City. And as with most ghost towns, there are a lot of places that are rumored to be haunted. I kind of, you know, take it or leave it. I hadn't heard anything personal or interesting enough to convince me. But we were sleeping in this place called the Bonanza Hotel. So just to give you, or pardon me, the Bonanza Inn, just to give you a little bit of background, and I did not know this background until after this all happened. I'm not nearly as educated as my mother or her students, but the Bonanza Inn was built in the mid-1860s, and it was originally a courthouse. And in 1876, three Catholic nuns arrived from Leavenworth, Kansas to convert it to a hospital for minors.
As opposed to three Catholic alls.
True.
It's another joke. Alls and nuns.
Alls and nuns?
None? Zero?
None, all, got it.
Yeah.
Yep, got it. Sorry. I was like, what?
Actually, I'm sorry.
That was bad. Yeah. Okay, so they decided to, they were there to convert it to a hospital, and they battled cholera, typhoid, consumption, gunshot wounds, saloon fights, mining accidents. So patients dwindled as mining waned, and the sisters moved on in 1879. Oh, that's just my daughter. It scared me. Whew. Some of the patients left an unusual legacy. From the 1950s to the present, overnight guests have reported ghostly visits. Female spirit sits by the bed, soothing the sick, comforting the depressed. Some claim to have seen a shadowy nun along Idaho Street, which is the street that the hotel sits on.
It's the main street?
Yep. Or sitting in a pew in the Episcopal Church across the way. Interestingly enough, like I said, I knew none of this background, but I'm sleeping there. My husband is sleeping in the car because he snores and he's embarrassed because we're sharing rooms, and he's very sweet and courteous like that.
Very nice.
So he's sleeping in the car.
I wish I knew where he was.
Yeah, I wish I did too. Probably the Bramble Monster. Ugh. I told you. Did you see the video of the Bramble Monster? Hey, it's a scary monster.
People are going to hear about that next week.
I know. Listen to it. I'm sleeping in a room, bunk beds with a couple teachers, and I wake up in the middle of the night and I hear the weirdest sound of water splashing. Like, loudly, and for an extended period of time, like 5 or 10 minutes, just splashing water. Now, I didn't have a child at the time, but now it reminds me of kind of the sound of splashing in the bathtub.
Sure.
Okay.
Playful.
Yeah. It wasn't ominous, but it was very distinct. There was obviously no water, no idea where it was coming from. So the next morning I woke up and there was a historian on the trip who was there giving speeches to the kids about the history of the different places in town. And I told her the story, and she was totally horrified. She tells me that it used to be a place run by nuns, and that they would, especially to some of the people that were really infirmed, they would give these baths. And that actually one of the very common reported ghost occurrences at this Bonanza Inn is hearing water splashing. So the story that I told, she actually was a historian and talked to people about it. My story ended up in a couple different ghost books.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was really interesting. But there was a cool encounter that happened. So in 1975, there was a movie called The Missouri Breaks that was filmed in Virginia City. It actually was starring Jack Nicholson and Marlon Brando. And one of the crew was staying in the same room that I was staying in, woke up in the middle of the night to a loud knocking at the door, flung open the door, nobody was there. Then he heard a sharp knock at the window, went to the window, nobody was there. Then the knock was at the door again, nobody was there. And it kept going back and forth and back and forth. And finally he just freaked out and packed his stuff and left. And for like 30 years, nobody stayed in room one. They had it locked up because of that, because people had been so freaked out. But people have seen male figures. Like I said, other people have heard this really creepy splashing noise. During the renovations that were done to the building a while ago, a worker staying at the Bonanza spent a scary sleepless night as something under his bed plucked at the bed springs.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Like.
Yep. All. Oh. 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 Yeah. And then one person who was staying there heard the same knocking at the window, drew back the window, and found a man with a wide-brimmed hat and a duster staring at her. So, very creepy. Nicholson? Could be.
Mm.
Could be.
I'm going to do this one more time.
Hands pulling up covers, all these creepy things that happened there. But like I said, I knew none of this. Now, obviously, I'll never stay there again. It scared the shit out
Why
of me.
Why not? Why not figure it out?
Because I don't have anything to figure out. I believe in it, and it scares me. You're the one that needs proof, that needs to figure things out. If you had heard those noises that night with me, and it was just my luck that Sam was sleeping in the goddamn car, so he didn't hear anything. I couldn't wake him up and have him hear anything. It was just depressing. But yeah, that was my scary story. Bonanza Inn. And I am going to tell you, we found this interesting place that's supposed to be close to where we're staying in Oregon that I think Sam and I are going to hit up on our way home.
We talk about that next week.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that there could be another personal terror story on the next edition of Captain Kelly's Tales of Terror, because I am seeking out some horrifying experiences. So
we're also still seeking out your horrifying experiences for the next edition.
Yes, I'd love to do this again soon. Like I said, I've got a couple more in the stores.
I think we're doing it every 3 to 4 months.
I love it.
Cool.
Yeah. Thank you, both Cody and Hugster, and everybody else who sent them in. We will get them on eventually, I promise. We just don't have quite enough time to do them all tonight. But please send on any other stories you have. I really, really want to get the best of our listener stories.
And where can they send that to?
Please send them to kelly@frightday.com. If you guys want to tweet about any of this, you can always tweet me at @KellyFrightDay.
And I'm at Byron McCoy on Twitter. Byron@FrightDay.com is my email address.
And Sam is Sam@FrightDay.com if you want to tell him how much you side with him and the fact that there are no ghosts.
He left because he was so bummed that this was happening. He's like, I hate ghosts.
I think that actually we maybe scared him.
You think we've spooked
and I
him
think
out?
That I think that maybe he just can't handle being scared or admitting that he's scared. Sure. So I think that he like bugged out because he was like, yeah, too much.
Too much.
I mean, honestly, some of those things in Cody's story and Hugster's as well, but ugh, creepiness. You guys be careful out there. And I'm with you. Nobody mess with Ouija boards. No good can come of it.
Well, I just so happen to have a Ouija board right here.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't. Nice try.
And until next Friday.
I'm Byron.
I'm Captain Kelly with True Tales of Terror.